Well, as I mentioned, this morning's going to be a little bit different. Typically, we're going through a book of the Bible, and starting next week, we'll be going through the book of 2 Corinthians together. But on the first week of each new year, we talk about three things as a church. First, we talk about our mission statement. We do this really as a reminder for those of us who have been here for a long time, but also we do it for new people who haven't been with us for a year to help them understand exactly what our mission statement's about and what it means. So we'll actually be talking about three things as it applies to our mission this morning. First, we'll talk about why we have one. Second, we'll unpack what our mission statement actually means. And then last, we'll talk about how our mission statement should impact us individually as well as a church body. Okay, so that's what we'll be doing as far as our mission statement it goes. But then second, we'll be looking back, thanking the Lord for what he has done. And then third, last, we'll be taking a look forward to the new year and talk about maybe some plans and some goals for our church. Okay, so first let's start by taking a look at why we have a church mission, why that's important. Now, let me just say this about church mission statements in general before we talk about why it's important. Church mission statement must be biblical. We as believers, our faith in our lives must be based on God's word and focused on Jesus. Let me say that again. Let it sink in. As believers, what we believe and how we live our lives and how we view life must be based on God's word and focused on Jesus. Also, the best mission statements are short and succinct, but also overarching. They should not be long theological treatises. They need to be easy to remember. And their purpose is just to help us get direction for our church. Now, let me say one additional thing. What we're going to talk about is not just about us as a church body, but it's also about individual members of our church. This is all about each of our lives. Okay, so that being said, let me give you three reasons why we have a mission statement. The first one is it helps guide us in our decision-making process as a church, both in the direction of our church and what we do and don't do as a church. See, it helps keep us on target. Second, it gives us something to all strive together for. It gives us a common goal. It helps keep us all going in the same direction. It keeps us all on the same page. It helps us to maintain unity in the faith. And then third, it tells people outside our church and people new to our church what's important to us. Helps them to better understand us, to know what we're about. It helps them to decide whether they want to become part of us, to join us. Now, I think you all probably know what our mission is here at GBCC. It's on the wall in the back. It's in the Welcome Center on the back. It's on our webpage. It's on your bulletin. We mention it various times in various ways in our worship service. Okay. So, everybody, what is it? Exactly. Helping people passionately follow Jesus. Remember what I said earlier. Church missions must be based on God's word. Well, our mission statement is actually based on two passages of Scripture. The first is the Great Commandment we find in Matthew 22:37. And the second is the Great Commission found in Matthew 28:19-20. And in just a couple of moments, we'll be looking at those two verses a little bit more in depth. But first, notice our mission statement begins by saying, helping people. We here at GBCC are about helping people. You know, it's interesting when I think about that helping people. I see that in this congregation just in a morning worship service. One of the things I keep hearing from people, and maybe some of you have said it, is that we're probably one of the most friendliest churches they've ever been in. It's just, we make people feel warm and welcomed. That's part of our helping people. See, first it's about having a servant's heart. It's about having a humble heart. Our helping people is not out of pride or self-righteousness. It's out of humility. So we think about humility, think about helping others this way. Right? Humility, right? But then second, also about serving others. One other thing. Although our mission focuses on the spiritual, sometimes helping people with physical needs opens them up to helping them with spiritual needs. Also, we're passionately following Jesus when we're his hands and his feet, helping those in need physically, emotionally, and spiritually. From a biblical perspective, helping others comes out of our love for them, as we see in Matthew 22, 39. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the next word is passionately. For us, this word passionately is the idea of following Jesus out of our deep love for him and our commitment to him. This word passionately is the connection to the great commandment where Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So when you see that word passionately in our mission, remember, first and foremost, it's the idea of helping people follow Jesus out of their love for him. But then it also does describe the manner in which we follow Jesus with passion. It describes that strong desire that we have for following Jesus. Then last, we see helping people passionately follow Jesus. This comes from the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let me just stop here for a second. We're not going to talk much about this, but the last phrase, I want you to just look at and just kind of absorb a little bit. I am what? Always. Right. With you. With you. Always. Remember that. That is so important for us to remember that Jesus is with us individually, always. Okay, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, the word disciples here can also be translated as apprentices or followers. So Jesus here is telling his disciples to help people become his disciples or his followers. Also notice that there are two things here that mark a believer, a follower of Jesus. And because of that, these two things here are what we talk about and encourage. The first one is baptism. Notice first in this passage that it's after people become followers of Jesus. Okay, so what exactly is baptism? Well, it's an important step of obedience for a follower of Jesus. It doesn't save you, but it's an important public profession of your faith in Jesus. If you haven't been baptized since you've become a believer, can I encourage you to consider this? Just talk to me anytime and we can schedule a time for you to be baptized. But then second we see here is teaching. And we do this each Sunday morning when we spend time together in God's Word. We also have a small group Bible study every Sunday morning at 9:45. And we have children's church. Also, this is what we do in our men's ministry, our ladies' ministry, our young adult ministry, our student and children's ministry. This is all because helping people passionately follow Jesus means teaching them about Jesus and what he commanded. But it's also interesting how it's put here in this verse. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So here's a question. According to this, what's the purpose of the teaching? What's the result to be? Is it just to pass on information, just to fill you with knowledge? Yes, it is important for us to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. So much so that Paul prayed this for the Colossian believers, as we see in Colossians 1, 9, and 10. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in what? Right, increasing in the knowledge of God. But if we look back at our passage in Matthew, we also see what the main purpose of the teaching is to be. And that is for us to observe all that Jesus commanded us. Folks, teaching has the greatest value when it impacts our lives. The way we live, how we view things. See, it's the application of the information that causes transformation. Let me say that again. It's the application of the information that causes transformation. Bible study, when we don't apply it to our lives, can actually be just detrimental. We can just become prideful of our knowledge. And instead of having it transform our lives into the image of Jesus, we can become proud and self-righteous. I have a little card on the back of my office door that says, "Will what happens in your church this Sunday matter in someone's life on Monday?" See, we come to church first and foremost to praise and glorify God. It is all about him. But second, we come to church to align our hearts and minds with God as we sing praises and to hear from him on the first day of the week, all with the purpose of helping us to passionately follow Jesus through the rest of the week. Let me just say one more thing as it relates to following Jesus. We also see that Jesus was constantly telling people to follow him. Let me just give you three examples in Matthew. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Then in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then in Matthew 19:21, Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven and come," what? Exactly, "follow me." Okay, so we just saw that our mission is helping people passionately follow Jesus, and it comes from first from Matthew 23, 37, and then from the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. One last thing about our mission. It isn't only about helping believers grow more like Jesus. Helping people passionately follow Jesus is actually two things. First is helping people begin their journey, helping them become followers of Jesus. We sometimes call that evangelism. And then the second is that we help people to continue to passionately follow Jesus, to help them become more like Jesus so they can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Sometimes this is called discipleship. Folks, we need to realize that our mission calls for both of these, evangelism and discipleship. Now, I've said this before, and I haven't said it probably for a while, but as your pastor, I am most concerned about three things. What I want most for us as a congregation. The first is that we all spend eternity in heaven together. I pray to that end all the time. I preach to that end all the time. That really is what's on my heart. But then second, that we as a congregation would bring as many people as we can into the kingdom with us to spend eternity with them also. But then as we talk about discipleship, my third prayer for you all the time, and what I desire most for us, again, is that each one of us here would hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I pray this for you all as I pray it for myself, that we would all be faithful, that we would all be fruitful, and that we would all finish well. So that's our mission, to help people passionately follow Jesus. So can I encourage you to journey with us through this new year as we together passionately follow Jesus and help those around us to passionately follow him? So please remember that this isn't only our mission statement as a church entity, but folks, this also needs to be the mission statement for each of us as members of this church. So, can I encourage you to this new year, bring our mission into your daily lives, passionately following Jesus and helping others passionately follow Okay, so we talked about our mission here at GBCC. Now let's look back and look forward as we continue on in our time together. So first, let's go ahead and look back at 2024. So what has God done in 2024? Well, you know, I will say this. This has probably been one of the most amazing years that we've had since I've been here for over 10 years. First, God has grown the ministries that he's given us. We see with divorce care under the leadership of Lori Wells has been fruitful and it's continued to grow. We've heard some amazing testimonies from both the leaders and the folks in the class. The ladies' ministry under Vicki's leadership has grown in size, but even more importantly, God has used it to help our ladies to grow spiritually for our guys. We've started having our men's Bible study weekly at Panera, and I know that's been a blessing to all of us. Next, God has given us a bunch of new exciting ministries this past year. First is our outreach ministry to the hungry. It's called Bread for the Hungry, and Jeff and Terry Hoover have been leading that for us. See, we get Panera Bread on Friday night, and then on Saturday morning, we deliver it to different ministries that feed the poor. Next, we started a new discipleship and outreach ministry called Awana for both the children within our church and outside our church. And that meets Sunday at 3, and Joe and Cheryl Primo are our leaders for that ministry. We also started a youth group ministry that also meets Sunday afternoons called Trek and Journey. And then last, Pastor Josh has started a young adult ministry here at our church that meets Monday nights at 7. Also, as far as outreaches go, we were able to reach out in our community again this past year through the cookies and chocolate time at the Christmas parade. And as I mentioned earlier this morning, we were able to give $4,000 to Hurricane Helene relief. Okay, so what else has God done here at GBCC this past year? Well, first, he answered a prayer that we here at GBCC have been praying for earnestly for over 2 years. God sent us a young pastor to come alongside us and help with outreach and discipleship. And I know Pastor Josh has already been a blessing to all of us just in the past 3 months. Second, God has grown us in attendance. In the beginning of the year, we were hovering around mid-30s. And now we're typically between 50 and 60. We had a baptism this past year, and we saw someone put their faith in Jesus. Folks, this has been all God. Okay, so what about this coming year, moving forward in 2025? First, we plan to continue to focus on strengthening the ministries that we have. But then second, we'll be planning some new things. First, let me give you just a quick plug. Since I'm the pastor and I'm able to do this, I'm going to talk about men's ministry, right? Okay. Now, we're going to meet this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock at Panera for all you guys. Remember this. Now, I've mentioned this before, but let me repeat it. I tell everyone there's 3 books that have had the most impact on my life. Now, I'm not talking about the Bible. It's in a class all by itself. Think about it this way. The difference between the Bible and the 3 books that I'm going to talk about is pretty much the same as the difference between God and us. See, God gave us the Bible. The 3 books I'll be talking about were given to us by men. Just so we're clear on that. Okay, so here they are. The first is Desiring God by John Piper. That completely changed my devotional life, totally. The second is The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. That has changed my daily life. Then third, I'm going to call it a non-Christian book with a lot of biblical principles. 7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person by Stephen Covey. And that had an impact on my life also. Now, I'm really excited about us guys reading together The Practice of the Presence of God. The readings are actually short, and we'll have questions to interact with. And let me just say this. Guys, it will impact your life, and you will begin to see life from a different perspective. So I'll be giving out the books this coming Saturday when we all meet. So again, guys, please join us this coming Saturday, 8 o'clock at Panera, to join us on a great adventure. Also, this year, Pastor Josh will be overseeing a quarterly worship night here at the church for the students and teachers and parents at Greenbrier Christian School. We're also going to start looking at what we can do to reach out to the middle school that's right across the street from us here. And one last thing. Pastor Josh and Don and I will be spending some time away a little bit later in January, just again to look at our direction. And please just pray for us whenever you think about us as that's coming up, that elder retreat. If you would just, again, pray for us, that God would just give us wisdom and maybe the direction of our church. So in closing, I'm so excited to see what God is going to do this year as we continue to focus together on helping people passionately follow Jesus.